So we're up to Ezra Perek Beis Pasuk Chavav. We are in the middle of enumerating the families and the numbers of people who made the first Aliyah from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Chavav Bnei Haramah. We are still in the middle of the families of Yehuda and Binyamin. The first list, the first category of families are people from the Shevet of Yehuda and Binyamin. Later we'll come to the Kohanim, the Levim, the Nesinim, the Avdei Shlomo, and Asufim, Ushtukim. We'll see all these different categories soon. But right now we're still in the main bulk. The main bulk is Yehuda and Binyamin. There is a little bit of some difficulty because we do mention over here in passing, we mentioned over here Yeshua, which this Yeshua might refer to the Yeshua of the Kohen Gadol, which is not from Shevet Yehuda Binyamin, which is Shevet Levi, but it could be there was some branch which they married among each other. But more or less, 95% of the people over here are certainly from the Shevet of Yehuda and Binyamin. So we continue Pasuk Chavav Bnei Haramah VaGova. The people that lived in these are cities. These are regions and cities. Sheish Mios Eshim VeEchad 621 Pasuk of Zayin Anshei Michmas, a name of a place. Me'av Yeshim Shneim 122. A small number of people. If you're following on the chart, you don't have to have the chart. You're just following. If you have it, you can see that we're moving along over here. 100 and Me'av Yeshim. This is Anshei Michmas. And this finds over here on this chart, yeah, 122. It's like two-thirds down on the right side, the right column. Okay, don't worry, if you don't have it, don't worry about it. Anshe Veisel, Vihooi, okay, the I, Veisel and I. I was famous, that was right. The Mulcham of I. That was the second war, right after Yericho, we have I. Mosain, how many people survived? A very small number, only 223. Mosain Veshem Shlesh, 223. Pasuk Chavtes, B'nei Nevo. Chamishim Ushnoim Nevo is only 52. If I'm not mistaken, that is the smallest number in the entire thing, right? 52, very small number of people. Oh, there's four, yeah, right. Asmavis, learn yes, you're right. That's strange name, but Nevo, you're right, it's 52. Bnei Magbish, Mea Chamishim Vishish, 156. Bnei Elam Acher. Now, why here is it called Elam Acher? First, the number is Elif 1000. Masayim Chamishim Yeba 1254. The reason why it's called Elam Acher, because this is the name of a city, not the name of a person. If you look on the chart of Pasuk Zayin, if you go back to Pasuk Zayin, Bnei Elam, it's very bizarre. This is what are the chances something will happen? Exactly right. Exactly. There's one Elam, name of a person, and there was another Elam, the name of a city, and they mysteriously had exactly the same number of people. Pasuk Zayin, Bnei Elam, Elef 1000, Mosayim Chamishim V'arba 1254. Here, Bnei Elam Acher, Elef 1000, Mosayim Chamishim V'arba. Exactly the same thing. How bizarre! But on the chart as well, Bnei Elam, Pasuk Zayin, and here we have on the bottom of the chart 1254. So that's why it's called Acher. Acher here means a city. In the Pasuk Zayin, it's a person. And whatever it is, that's what it is. There are stranger things that have happened in this world than having a city and a family having exactly the same number of people. Bnei, and so that's called Acher. It's different. This is not the same one as before. Okay, let's look at the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Elam Acher lefi shechoshav lemala bnei Elam. V'hayu kecheshbon hazeh. They were exactly the same number. Elze Omar shezehu Elam Acher. V'hayu shavim b'mispar anshehem. The same number of people. Next Pasuk Lamed Beis. Bnei Chorim, Shlosh Meos Veshim, 320. Bnei Lod, from the people of Lod, Chodid Ve'ono, three cities which obviously were in proximity. Shva Meos, Eshim Mechamish, 725. Bnei Yerecho, Shlosh Meos, Arbor Mechamisha, 345. Now, what's difficult about Bnei Yerecho? Didn't we learn in Yoshua that you're not allowed to build Yericho? Once Yericho was destroyed, it was a curse. Anyone who would rebuild Yericho would be cursed. So, but there was a person who did build Yericho. If not mistaken, the person who built Yericho, and he was cursed. His children died when he laid the foundation. Some of his children died when he put up the doors. By the time he got around to putting up the doors, other children died. So, it was rebuilt. It was rebuilt against the ban of the curse of Yericho being rebuilt, and that's why we
say yes. Yericho.
So you want to say it's a different city? It's hard to say that because normally, when you have the same letters, okay, it could be. Another interpretation is that they built another city near Yericho, but it wasn't the same exact city. The curse was to rebuild the original city. But if you were to build a neighboring city and give it the same name, that was not part of the prohibition, not part of the curse. But in any event, we do find here a city called Yericho, Shlosh Meos, Arabo, Mechamisha, 345. Bnei Sinoa, the children of the city called Sinoa, name of a city, Shloshes Alafim, Vesheish Meos, Shloshim, 3630. Now that Pasuk Lamed Hei concludes, that's a very large number. 3,630, that's the largest of them all. Right? So Pachas Moav, Pachas Moav was the second largest. I told you guys about Pachas Moav, they were the second largest. And this concludes, as you see on this chart, if you have this chart, this concludes the Bnei Yehuda uBinyamin. We've gone through quite a number of families, and these are those from these two families who have ascended to Eretz Yisrael. Period. Now we go to Shevet Levi. And Shevet Levi is broken up into different groups. We have the Kohanim and the Levim. And among the Levim, we're going to have different groups of Levim. So first we come to the Kohanim, Beha Kohanim, Bnei Yedaya, from the family of Yedaya, Lebeis Yeshua, to the family of Yeshua. Now Yeshua seemingly is Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, Tisha Meos, 973. Bnei Imer, another group of Kohanim, you see on the chart of the Kohanim, Elef, 1,052. Bnei Pashur, Elif, 1,000, Mosaim Arboim of Veshiv, 1,247, and Bnei Chorim, Elif, 1,000, Veshivim, Veshiv, also, and 17. So a total of four families of Kohanim. Now, what is the difficulty with that? Yeah?
Why did they switch Bnei Yedaya and then Ruvais? In other words, the children of. In other words, I could have said base everywhere, or they've been. In other words, look at it, let's say Lamed He.
Yeah.
You use the term Bnei.
Yeah.
And then let's say Lamed He, Bnei Yodaya, Levais Yeshua. Is that two families? Why the switch from Bnei to Beis?
Because Yeshua was the Kohen Gadol's family, whereas the other was not.
It was a group. It was a.
Why the difference? They use at times Bnei Charlie and Base Charlie.
So I think what it means over here, Lebeis means one branch of the family. Bnei Yedaya. Yedaya was the Rosh Habayis. He was the top of the tree. He was, and then his Yedaya had many children. Not all of his children ascended. Only one branch of his family. If I'm not mistaken, the word Beis Yeshua means the branch of Yeshua from the larger group of Yedai. Yedai was the Rosh Habayi. He was the Rosh. He was the patriarch. He had number of children. Only one of his children, only descendants of one branch of his family, decided to ascend to Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, that's what it means. Now, if you notice, there are only four families of Kohanim that are listed here, that are coming up to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not exactly, I think there's a mistake on this piece of paper here. It says over here, if you notice on this piece of paper, if you have it, on the left side, Bnei Yehuda uBinyamin, I think that should be the Kohanim. it has to be that's a mistake. The Bnei Yehuda Bin Yamin is only on the right side. That goes all the way down to Bnei Sana is the last of Yehuda Bin Yamin. This list, starting with Pasek Lamed Vav, going until Pasek Mem, are the Bnei HaKoyhanim. So I'm not exactly sure why, I think it's
the label is wrong.
Yeah, I think that column should be the Hak, the Kohanim, which include these four groups. Now, I'm sure you all know from the Kinnas on Tisha B'Av, probably remembered, and it's a Gemara, it's obviously, it comes from the Gemara, what, 24 Mishmaros. That there were 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, there were 24 different families of Kohanim. And originally started as 16. Okay, I don't remember the exact numbers. The Gemara is dealing with Masechta Pesachim in the time of David HaMelech. How many families of Kohanim, and then David expanded it, and then came along at a later point in time. It was expanded once again. Moshe and David, and at a later point in time. But during the time of the Bayis Rishon, we are certain that there were 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, 24. The entire Klal Yisrael, all of the Kohanim were divided in 24 groups, and they would alternate 1 week at a time. They would come. They would ascend to Eretz Yisrael, and they would serve in. They would come to the Beis Hamikdash and serve their week, and on Shabbos they would be the outgoing group would serve together with the incoming mishmar, and this would continue. And basically, and each one of the mishmars was further divided into six groups, which basically means that a kohen would serve twice a year. Twice a year, a kohen was on duty. He was on duty to be present in the Mikdash for 2 weeks a year, and during those 2 weeks, he would serve actually the Mikdash on a particular day. And then on Shabbos, they would all serve together, that particular group, and on the Yom Tovim, then it appears there was a different system where anyone can come, and everyone did come to serve together. I do not know how they were able to have so many people there at one time, but they did. And so the question then is, why here are we only listing four groups? So the answer given by the commentators is that Enoch and Ami, only four groups, decided to return. From the 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, only four groups returned, and 18 groups decided it's not worth their while, or they were not able to come back to Eretz Yisrael during the return with Ezra and Nehemiah. And what happened to the 24 Mishmaros? So these four families were subdivided into six groups. And they became the new 24, and the other families, they somehow were lost, or they were absorbed, they came later. They were not, well, I don't know if they were not pure. It could be they were pure, just they didn't come. They did not ascend. No, it could be the Yichus. It doesn't say that. There were other Kohanim which we mentioned that Yichus was not pure. But it seems that the Yichus from the other Kohanim doesn't say otherwise. It's just that a very small percentage of the Jews living in Golis decided to return to Eretz Yisrael. And among the Kohanim, only 4 of the 24 families, 18 of the families did not return. And it appears they lost out. They lost out, and these four groups took over, and they were subdivided into six groups, and from them we have now the new 24 groups. If other Kohanim wanted to participate, it would appear there was some system where they would have to apply to join up one of these 24 groups. That is what it would appear to be. Okay, so these are the four groups of the Kohanim which came. Let's go further. HaKohanim B'nei, so we have the four groups, that takes all the way into Pasuk Mem. Now we come to the Levim. Now Levim, if you look on this chart, the Levim are going to divide into different groups. There was some, let's see, B'nei HaLevim, B'nei Yeshua, the Levim from the family of Yeshua, which Yeshua again can be, we're not exactly sure who this, there are a lot of Yeshuas. We know there's one Yeshua, the Kohanim of the Yeshua that's mentioned by the Kohanim is clearly Yeshua Kohen Gadol. But this is already the third Yeshua that's mentioned. There was a Yeshua mentioned in the original list, the people that came up, which would appear to be there was a Yeshua from Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Yehuda, and then there was a Yeshua and Shevet the Kohanim, which clearly is Yeshua Kohen Gadol. And now we have another Yeshua family who is part of the Levian. So HaLevian B'nai Yeshua, from the families of Yeshua V'Kadmiel, Levnei Ho Davia, Shim V'Arba, 74. Okay, now those does not tell us the role of those Levian. It just tells us It just tells us these Levim. I don't know what their role is, because we do know that the Levim were generally divided into the Mishayrim, the singers, and the Shoyarim, the gatekeepers. And the gatekeepers included the people who took care of the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. So how did the first group of Levim differentiate themselves from the second two groups of the gatekeepers and the singers, I do not know. But there are three groups presented. Next comes the HaMishayrim. The Mishayrim, the singers, Bnei Asaf, he was very famous. Asaf, we have many Mizmarim and Tehillim that come from Asaf. He composed numerous Mizmarim and Tehillim, and he obviously was very talented in music to conduct and Nigun. Bnei Asaf, Meya, Eshrim, Mushmanu, 128. Bnei HaShoyarim, the Levim that were the gatekeepers. There's a requirement for Levim to stand guard 24/7 in front of the openings. There were at least seven openings to the Beis HaMikdash, and they also took care of various maintenance in the Mikdash. Bnei Shalom, Bnei Oter, Bnei Talmoin, Bnei Akov, Bnei Chatita. That's how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Bnei Shavoy, 6. Six different families of Levim that were Shayarim. Hakol in total was Meya Shleshim V'Sisha, 139. Okay, so that concludes the family of the Levim. Now we go to the Nesinim. Who were the Nesinim? The Nesinim were really Kenanim, the Givonim. And the Givonim were living in Eretz Yisrael. And when Yeshua came to conquer the land, the Givonim were supposed to leave, or were supposed to become, were supposed to accept upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvah Noach. But they tricked Yeshua into making believe that they did not live in Eretz Yisrael. They were not part of Canaan. They lived far away. They put on clothing from a faraway land, and they came to Yeshua and they said to him that we've heard about the miracles that Hashem has done for Klal Yisrael, and we're here to make peace with you. We want to make a bris with you. Don't do anything to us. So Yeshua said, where do you come from? Oh, we come from very, very far away. We just are afraid that you're going to conquer the world and you're going to go kill us. Yeshua says, don't worry. If you live far away, we're not going to touch you. Just don't make trouble for us. We won't make trouble for you. And Yeshua took an oath. They signed documents. He took an oath. And then the next day, Yeshua wakes up and discovers that these people fooled Yeshua. They're really living in Eretz Yisrael. They're Canaanim. They're part of the nations of Canaan. And real al pi halacha, they're mechuyif to be destroyed, or they're obligated at least to leave. There were different options that the people of Canaan had when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. You can leave peacefully. You can fight and be killed, or you can be megayer to become a ger tzedek, which means to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. And they chose none of the above. I'm not exactly sure what they wanted, but they fooled Yeshua. So al pi halacha, Yeshua was permitted to kill them because he was fooled. The oath was taken under false assumptions, false pretenses, and it was mutter. However, this is a problem which continues mamish ad hayom hazeh, till the year Hey Allah from Tavshnayin Gimel, the 21st century, 2013, is that we are always losing the PR war, public relations war, always. Israel, no matter what they don't have this koyach to win the public relations problem war, and it goes back to the time of the Givonim. The Givonim had public relations in their favor, and it would have been a very big chil Hashem for Klal Yisrael, for Yeshua to wipe them out, to kill them, to punish the Givonim for their lies, because the Givonim showed, they pulled up their documents and told the world, look, the Jewish people made peace with us. And if they will kill us, they're a bunch of liars. They are horrible people who don't follow the law, have no set of morals. It's a lie. It's a total outrageous lie. The Givonim... The Givonim tricked. It was a fraud. The Givonim fooled Yeshua. Yeshua had no obligation to keep his end of the deal. It was based on false pretenses. But yet the Givonim was able to manipulate the media, was able to manipulate public opinion, that we have a legitimate right to remain in the land and do what we want and not observe the Torah mitzvos. And Yeshua, because of the public relations and of what they've done, was unable to succeed in convincing the world of the truth, and it would have been a chilul Hashem for him to renege on the deal. And therefore he had no choice but to let the Givonim live, but he did punish them. Yeshua subjugated them, he did extend his strong hand upon them, and he made them into slaves to be the woodchoppers and the water drawers for the Chaytve Eitzim Shevimayim for Klal Yisrael to serve the Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So that's who the Nesinim were. They were kept, they lived in separate cities because they were not really full-fledged Jews. There are various Midrashim. It wasn't only Yehoshua. Yehoshua later came along David. And David saw also that these Givonim, these Nesinim, they're not good people. They're problematic. And Ezra Nochamal, Ezra later on, when he came married to Joel, did not like these group of people. Why? So the Midrash says because they had very bad midos. The Klal Yisrael have three midos: Baishanim, Gomli Chasadim, and Rachmanim. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomli Chasadim, and the Givonim did not have these midos. They were not Baishanim, they were not Rachmanim, they were not Gomli Chasadim, and they were problematic people for Klal Yisrael. And the only reason why Yehoshua, David and Ezra were unable to purge them, to get rid of them, was because of public relations. That's really what it says. It would have been a chilul Hashem. Unbelievable. You would think today, right? Today, what's the big deal? Show the world the truth. We see today that we're plagued with this inability to win the public relations war. Yeah?
Those three midos,
yeah,
that we associate with Jews, it may be the leading cause why we're losing the PR world.
Because we don't have those midos. We're not following those.
We do have.
Yes.
Right.
Because we're so good, we don't.
Of all that, we might win the PR war. It's also very simple. We're too fast to say Chatanu today.
We're too fast to say Chatanu.
You did this wrong.
We're in a catch 22, you're saying. We have to be, the world is we're in a catch-22 situation. The world is a mean place, and if we follow the rules of the world, then we're not going to be Rabbi Shonim, Rachmanim, Gomli Chasadim. So we're stuck in the middle. Perhaps it's a problem, but you always see this in the newspaper, the Jewish newspapers, and in the media. They even had a very interesting write-up in Ami magazine. I try to read the magazine every so often about this problem, about the inability, no matter how hard Israel tries to provide people that will present themselves to the world, like now this last war with the Palestinians, to show the world the truth. They just can't get their act together. It doesn't work. So three times in history, these groups of people were put aside. Let me see if I have the exact Medrash here. I have another Sefer that has Midrashim. It's an excellent Sefer here. Rachmanim Bo David V'richakon. David came along. This is a Medrash in Esther Abasi. Bo David V'richakon Shenemar V'agivoynim Loim B'nei Yisrael Hema Shaloisha Simonim B'umazol Rachmanim Ba'ishanim V'gom L'chassadim U'mi She'ein Bo Shaloisha Simonim Halalu Ein Aroi L'davik B'umazol. And therefore, these people are problematic. It's exactly what it says in this Medrash. These people, and therefore they were put aside in separate cities. Nisin means Nisina. They were assigned. They were given a task. Nosan. They were given a task, the task of drawing water and cutting wood for the Beis HaMikdash. And believe it or not, they stuck to us. Even when we were exiled, they were exiled with us. And when we returned, they also returned with us. You can't get rid of them. Hanasinim b'nei Tzicha, b'nei Chasufa, b'nei Tabos. A lot of them, a lot of families. Three in this pasuk alone: b'nei Tabos, b'nei Keros, b'nei Si'aha, b'nei Fadon. All of these funny names: b'nei Levana, b'nei Chagova. The moon, Chagova, is locust. These are not exactly complimentary names. You know, there's a street right next to an avenue. Everyone knows the street, Locust Avenue. So.
They named the streets after trees.
After trees, locust is a tree?
Yeah,
I thought it was
a chestnut elm.
Chestnut elm.
I thought locust was a grasshopper. No, it's that also. Okay, learn something new today. Baruch Hashem. B'nei Chagogah. What?
Why are they? If we're mentioning them already, why are we not mentioning the numbers?
Oh, we are. We are. We're going to first mention all the families, then mention the very end, mention the number at the very end. So let's see what the theme was.
Why are we mentioning the Mechlav? Because I thought this was an honor roll.
So it was to their credit that they came back with us. So you're right. There's nothing black and white. they were not good people. They fooled Yoshua. They fooled the David and Ezra also had trouble dealing with them. They didn't have the goodies, good midos. But on the other hand, they were Zionistic. They were religious Zionists.
It's not the Palestinians.
And
they're all over, but they want to be just
right.
Hashem does not deny reward for any creature, no matter how bad a person is. There was obviously some redeeming quality. It's not clear. Had they been pure evil, we could assume that somehow David and the Chochmah of David and Ezra and Yoshua would have been able somehow over time to purge them from Klal Yisrael. But obviously there was a redeeming quality. Ad Kdei Kach, they were Moiser Nefesh, they were from the 5% that decided to make Aliyah and this very time, and therefore they deserved this very great honor. And in fact we list them in very great detail. Look at all these families, so many families. So we have B'nai, 20 families, what is it? Yeah, 20, say 20 families? There are 20 families, B'nai Levana, B'nai Chagava, B'nai Akuf. These are all very ugly names. I'll tell you, Levana is the moon. The moon, the Chagava, locust, Akuv is a scorpion, B'nai Chagav, another Chagav, B'nai Shamlai, what Shamlai? I know that it's B'nai Chonon, B'nai Gidel, B'nai Gachar, B'nai Re'oya, B'nai Ritzin, B'nai Nikoda, B'nai Gazam, B'nai Uza, B'nai Foseach, B'nai Vesoy, B'nai Asna, B'nai Me'unim, B'nai Nifusim, B'nai Vakvuk. A bakvuk is a bottle. B'nai Chakufa, B'nai Charchur, B'nai Vatzlus, B'nai Michida, B'nai Charsha, B'nai Varkos, B'nai Sisra, B'nai Samach, B'nai Netziach, B'nai Chatifa, B'nai Avde'ah. So therefore that goes into Pasuk Nun Hey. That concludes the number of Nesinim, a very long list. You can say one breath. That's certainly how long?
Hang them all.
Okay, so you counted 20? That's what you did? You counted exactly 20?
I can count 20.
Okay, like approximately 20. Now, in addition to these Nesinim, we're grouping together another category. We're also counting the B'nai Avdei Shlomo. The B'nai Avdei Shlomo were not Nesinim. They were not from this group of people that served, that whose role was to provide water and wood. But they were other goyim, non-Jews. It could be from all over the world that were heard about Shlomo HaMelech and heard about maybe they were living in Eretz Yisrael and wanted to be part of Klal Yisrael. Now, during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo did not accept Geirin because their Geirus would have been insincere. At that point in time, it's hard for us to imagine the Jewish people were idolized. They were on the top of the world. And everyone wanted to be part of Klal Yisrael. So when someone would want to join us because they want the wealth, they want to participate in the economy, they want the good life, no one could be trusted. The reason why they want to join Klal Yisrael no one can be trusted because they really sincerely want to become part of Hashem's nation. Therefore, they were not accepted. But to a certain degree, Shlomo HaMelech allowed them to participate and do work that I guess no one else wanted to do. Like today in the United States, this is the whole big fight over illegal immigrants, and people argue, but they do. If they would not be allowed to live here, the whole economy would collapse. We need them. So you have some type of similar situation in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. There were people. They also they import. Also they import. No, now no, they import from all over the world. From all over the world.
From India, they just came.
They don't want the talisman. They take from all over the world. The other nations. They love. They come. They don't want to leave. So you have over here. You have something very similar during this period of time. They were called B'nai Avdei Shlomo, B'nai Sotai, B'nai HaSoiferes. Someone say Soiferes is the name of a woman. It's the name. The name of Shushem Toyar Leisha. Seferis, I don't know what that means exactly. It says over here, Ibn Ezra, that it's the name of the form of a woman. So these are people that have something to do with women. B'nai Firuda, B'nai Yala, B'nai Darkon, B'nai Gidel, B'nai Shefatya, B'nai Chatil, B'nai Fe Foycheres, Hatzvayim, Okay, that's, I guess those two, they go, those two go together. Not exactly sure the significance of that, of those terms. Bnei Ami, Kol Han, that concludes the name of the families. Now that we have the names of the families of both the Nesinim and the Mishnah, now we group them together. So you would think, after listening over here, 20, 30 families, you would have, who knows, thousands of people. And how many do we have in total? All we have over here is 392. After everything is said and done, all we have over here is Kol HaNesinu, all of the Nesinu of Ne'ave Shlomo. After all that effort, Shloshneos Tishim Ushnoim, 392. Okay, so this is another group of people which ascended the time of Ezra with the Golan. It's a very beautiful medrash. Let me read you this medrash. Fascinating medrash. This medrash is the makar for don't judge a book by its cover. What does the medrash say? Let me read you the whole words. Bereishis Rabba. Okay, regular, standard, run-of-the-mill medrash. Yesh sheshmoisam noim. There are people that have beautiful names. But umaaseihem, their deeds are ku'urim. They're ugly people. Beautiful, the most beautiful name possible. But their actions, their conduct, their behavior is disgusting. Right? You could have a book, beautiful cover. Right? You go into the marketing, got a good marketer, a beautiful cover. And the book, it's shtus, nonsense. Hevel. Kegoin, for example, Esav. What does Esav means? Asui, to do. What more? Godolimu shenevi lidei maisa. Esav means done. And you tell a person, I have a job for you, complete. I have a job for you, it's done. What better name can you possibly have? A trusty servant, a trusty worker. Whatever you tell them to do, it's as good as done. You could not have a better name than the word Esav. Esav, lashon of asui. It's complete. The mission is complete. And yet Esav is no pleasant person. Esav is the source of great harm in this world. Esav, Shmoy ois Shmo Oseh, his name is he does. But Ve'ena Oseh, he doesn't do good. He does a lot of harm to this world. Another example, Yishmoel. Yishmael means to listen. It's a beautiful midah. The most important thing in this world is to be a good listener. If you can listen, it's already 99% of what you need to do. It's just listen, follow instructions. Yishmael, Shmo Shemeya. But Yishmael is not a good listener. Yishmael is the source of much harm in this world. If we'd only listen to what he should be doing, what Hashem told the world to do, then things would be very different. Then we have the other way around. We have people, Ma'aseim Noim Ushmoisem Noim. There are people who have beautiful names, and it fits them. They do beautiful things. For example, Elu Hashvatim. All of the Shodim, beautiful names, and they do good Maisim. Ruvain. What's Ruvain, for example? Ru'u. Ma Bein Bini Leben Chami. We have an example. Ruvain, he went and he's not like Esav. Ruvain, he went and he gave over the Chazal Darshan, he gave over the firstborn to Yosef. He was recognized that Yosef was better, and he allowed Yosef to take the lead. Whereas, or even Yehuda, Reuben was the firstborn, but he gave over the Malchus to Yehuda and to Yosef, whereas Esav, he sold the Bechorah. When he gave over the Bechorah to Yaakov, Esav was jealous of Yaakov and wanted to kill him, Ad Hayom Hazeh, for the harm. So we have Reuben and Yishmael, which are very pleasant names. Ma'aseim Noim and Yishmael Noim, Elu Hashvatim, Reuben, Ruma, Ruben, Ben Abonim, Shimon, Shmuel, Kolavim, Shem Shemayim. We have as well, Shimon is a very beautiful name, and Shimon also is a good listener. But then we have another category, Shemoiseim, Ku'uim, Ma'aseim, because we have ugly names, and their deeds are ugly. Elu Miraglim. Okay, the Medrash doesn't give examples. I don't have to probably look at the Mefarshim, but the Miraglim had ugly names. The 12 Nesim, besides Yeshua the Kalev, and they indeed issued a slanderous report, which is the source for all Tzaras today. And now we come to the last category. And the last category in the Medrash and Bereishis Rabba is these Psukim here in Sefer Ezra, in reference to the Nesinim. The Nesinim have some pretty strange, bizarre names. Locust, and the moon, something which people would worship, and all these other funny names that we mentioned, scorpions and so on and so forth. Elu Shmosem Kuudim Umasem Noim. Elu Oile Goila. Bnei Bakbuk. Bnei Charchor is a hole. Charchor, I think, means the rectum. It means a hole in the body. And the Elu Ubno Ube and Elu the V'olu. And yet these people with these ugly names, what kind of, could have an uglier name? than Charchar, a hole, a name, the person's called by the rectum. I mean, that's like, how bizarre can that get? And yet these people, they have Ma'aseyem Noim, beautiful deeds. They came up and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, V'olu Ubanu Beis HaMikdash. So review, four categories of people. People that have beautiful names and are not true to their name. Esav and Yishmael. People that have beautiful names and are true to their name. The Shvatim. People that have ugly names and are ugly people. The Meraglim. People that have ugly names but have good deeds. Ugly cover. An ugly cover. The cover is as ugly as sin. But the book is brilliant. And that refers to the Nisinim. From all people, the Nisinim who we mentioned the other Medrash, are not Rachmanim, are not Gomli Chasadim, are not Baishanim, yet they are the ones who participate. They were Moisir Nefesh. The 392 of them came up to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's a very... The Arba meaning, well, there are different types of Jews. There are different types of Jews.
Different, they'll smell, they'll look.
Right, different midos. The Arava has no smell, so all different types. Theory represents the idea that all different types of Jews, they come together in one bundle. Very good, okay. Let's now go further in the pasuk. Now we come to another category of people. Now these people are a new category. So now let's just recap what we've done so far. We've gone through the people of Yehuda and Binyamin, the main Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. And the reason why we focus primarily on Yehuda and Binyamin is because they were the only ones who survived to the very end in Eretz Yisrael. When Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and he exiled the Jews, who did he take down with him? Who did Nebuchadnezzar conquer? Two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, because approximately 130 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Sancheiriv exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. So the Aseres HaShvatim more or less dispersed. They were no longer, the Klal Yisrael, there are 12 Shvatim, and the Aseres HaShvatim already disappeared off the map 130 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The only Shvatim that remained was the Malchus of Yehuda, which were comprised of Shevet Yehuda Binyamin. When Nebuchadnezzar exiled, conquered the Yerushalayim, and he exiled the remaining Jews living there, he exiled primarily Yehuda Ubinyamin. And these group Jews, they lived together in Bavel in different groups. Now when they returned, 52 years later, they were still intact, because 52 years, relatively speaking, is a short period of time. They were still there. They remembered the Beis HaMikdash. They remembered where they came from. They came to return to their land after 52 years. But of course, and we're going to see later on, that's going to make up for the discrepancy in these numbers. There were definitely people from the Aseres HaShvatim all over the world. And we're living in Babel, living in Paras, and different parts of the world, which also when they retained their Jewish identity for the past 200 years, 125 years plus the 52 years, so 175 years, they retained their Jewish identity, and now when this group of people went up to Eretz Yisrael, they latched on, they joined them. But they were not strong groups, because time was working against them. They were already in the Golos for a very long period of time. The groups that were very strong, very significant, and retained their identity were specifically Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, and that's why they're listed over here in the previous psukim by names and by their cities, this whole long list of people that we mentioned before. Then we mentioned the Koyhanim. Even though there were 24 families, only four of them returned. Then we mentioned the Levim, three groups of Levim. Then we mentioned the Nesinim with the Ave Shlomo. Now we're coming to a new group. This group are Jews who, they were from all different types of Jews, but their yichus was suspect. They could not trace their lineage to a specific father, to a specific even a mother. There are basically two different types of Jews called Asufei and Shisukei. This is the Masechet Kedushin and the Masechet Kedushin, Asar Yochsin Olmi Bavel. And Asufei is a child that's found in the street, an abandoned child. Someone drops off a kid at the fire station. We don't know who his mother is. We do not know who his father is. He was gathered in from the street. Is he Jewish? Yes or no? Very possibly he's not Jewish. But the halacha tells us we go basarayif. And if you're living in a city where the majority of the Jewish people are Jewish, so the halacha is you go basarayif. If the city is a Jewish city, 51% of the people in the city called the parish, maybe the parish, we assume he's Jewish. Who is his mother? We don't know. Who is his father? We don't know. Is he a kohen? Is he a levi? Is he a Yisrael? Is he a mamzer? Who Jewish he is. But we don't know his yichus. Therefore, he is called an asufe. He is gathered in from the street. That's one category. Now, this asufe is problematic. He can't marry a kohen because maybe he's a mamzer. He can't marry even the whole. That's a sugya. He's very limited. He has to stick to one of his own. Yeah.
Why don't we go basarayi even like avim mamzeres?
That we don't, because yichus we don't. I don't know the details. That we have to learn masechta kedushin and masechta kedushin asar yichus, and there all the details are described. All the laws of chazakas. So it's a complex sugya. Of roif, when you do say, when you don't say, I don't know the details. And then we have something called a shisuke. A shisuke, we know the mother. The mother's in front of us, she comes into the hospital to give birth, she gives birth, there's no suffix. This is the mother. Who's the mother? Oh, we know the mother. She comes from a very distinguished family. We say to the mother, who is the significant other? Who is? So she says, oh, I can't tell you. Well, I don't know. I don't know. It can be one of many. It can be one of many. So the child grows up, and the child hears his other children. They say, Abba, Abba, Tati, Dad. Father, he hears other children saying that word. So when he sees a man walking in the street, he goes, Father. So the mother says, quiet. That's not your father. Quiet. Shtoik. Shisuki means quiet, silence. You silence the child when the child says father to someone else. But the word shisuke means we know who the mother is. We don't know who the father is. That's much better. You're in a much better situation when at least you can identify the mother. It takes away more problems. So these two categories are called shisuke and asufe. Asufe, you don't know either of the parents, but you know that he's Jewish. Shisuke means you know who the mother is, but you don't know who the father. Now there's a very big problem. The problem is you cannot trace the lineage. Now I'll give you another example. Let's look at another category, which is not discussed here. Let's say we are 100% certain that this person is a kosher Yisrael. We know for sure, whatever, you have to come with some convoluted case. We know he has a good father and a good mother, and he comes from the biggest yichus, from the biggest Shiloh is. Does he come from? Is he comes from Satmar Rebbe, or does he come from the Kloisenberger? Or does he come from Vizhnitz or the Babov? Or is he a good Litvak? He comes from the Chafetz Chaim. We don't know, but one thing we know: he comes from the best stock. That's a problem. That's a chasaran. Even though he may for sure, when everything's said and done, either comes from Chavetz Chaim, the Gra, from the Sadna Rav, or from wherever it is, if you cannot trace your lineage in Halacha, their Psukim, their Mamar Chazal, that's a problem. You lack a certain Kedusha. There's a lack of Kedusha when you cannot definitively trace who you come from. And to a certain degree, Bizman Hazeh, okay, to a certain degree, we all lack that. Everyone of Bizman Hazeh lacked, because no one today can really trace the Yichus back more than a couple of years. Okay, there are Yechidim, Rappaports, there are Yechidim which claim they have a Shtar Yichus going back a little bit further than the average person. But they're somewhere down the line, everyone gets stuck somewhere along the line. So to a certain degree, we're all in that category, Bisman Hazeh. But the more person can trace lineage, the more Kedusha there's more of a intensity of Kedusha that a person has. So here we're coming out to a new category.
What does he do with that? Now let's say Daryl has more Kedusha.
Nothing.
Daryl.
He can do.
What's he
going to
do with it?
Nothing. When you have a society that's machshiv kedusha, Well, first of all, Ruchnius, we could assume he'll have more siyata. These are all Kabbalistic inyanim. He'll have more siyata d'shmaya when it comes to matters of Kedusha. He'll be able to daven better, he'll be able to learn better, he'll be able to accomplish things for the klal better, because he is a person that can be, by not only for himself, that Tzibur can identify who this person is, where he comes from. That means that he has more Kedusha, and if he has more Kedusha, he will have more siyata d'shmaya in matters of Kedusha. And a society that's machshiv, these inyanim, obviously will give him more kavod, will give him, in a mundane form. I mean, they will elevate him, they will appreciate who he is, and they will appoint him to positions of leadership, because his Kedusha will allow him to be successful in his leadership. Right, you want a leader to succeed. That's the most important thing. I made an impression. I was watching when after the election. This goes back 4 years ago when Obama became president, and it was obviously a very bitter election, as you all remember. This goes back to Bush. So Obama was running against. I forgot who was Obama running against.
McCain,
right? How can I forget? Right. For some reason, I always match him up with. Kerry, for some reason, okay, but it was a very bitter election. Finally, he won, and you know Bush too. You know, he sat in the background, and after he won, shortly after the election was over, and Obama won before the inauguration, he was invited to the White House, and in the White House, had all of the past living presidents, Bush, with Obama. And with Carter and Clinton, was Carter there? I don't even remember. Yeah, no. Clinton was for sure there, and the four before.
Before?
Okay, they were there. They were there at the Oval Office. They were there. They interviewed them. And Bush didn't like. No secret that Bush was no fan of Obama. Okay, and there were a lot of things that were said. And Bush, he was still sitting there, and Obama was small. And it made an impression. Obama said, Bush said to Obama. We're all here together, and there's one thing that we all have in common. We want you to succeed. Let's put aside all of our differences. We want you to succeed, because you are going to be the new president, and new this, that. If you will succeed, everything will be good. If you will not succeed, putting aside. And that's a very powerful statement. You want a leader to succeed. You cannot be successful in a place where they do not want you to succeed. Sometimes you see different positions of rabbonis or of any type of leadership. You can win. You can win by hook and by crook. You can fight. You can win. But what do you have? What have you accomplished if you win the election? If they don't want you to succeed, how good could you be if a significant number of the top leadership? So a person that has Kedusha is more prone to succeed than a person that's lacking Kedusha. You can have a very popular person, but he's a mamzer. He doesn't have that yichas. And everyone will appoint him, he will now be their new leader. What do they want out of a leader? They want the leader to succeed. In Klal Yisrael, it's critical that the leader is a person of Kedusha. And Kedusha comes out in many forms. And a person that lacks Yichus is lacking in a certain Kedusha, which prevents him from being successful. And if the people that have elected him want him to succeed, you're going to want to take a person that has Kedusha so that he will succeed. And there will be more Siyat Ishmael in a person that has that Kedusha. So that's, I think, a partial answer to your question. If a person knows his Yichus, he can trace himself back. This is a person that has Kedusha, he will have Siyat Ishmael, he has Zuchus Ovos, and now when we will appoint him to leadership, we can be faithful, we can be confident that he will succeed in his mission. Now, just going back, finishing up over here, we are going back over here to this pasuk. Let's just start one pasuk over here with these people. The Elu Ha'ilim Mitel Melach. The following are people, a new category of people. Going to be 652 people. Tel Charsha, they came from the mountain of Tel, the mountain of Melach. Now what does that mean? I'll tell you in a moment. Tel Charsha, the mountain of Charsha, from the place called Kruv, a place called Adon, a place called Imer, and these people were problematic. V'lo yachlu lahagid lahagid beis avoisam v'zaram, and they were, these people were unable to trace their lineage to their fathers and their seed. Im mi Yisrael him, if they came from, if they really were Jewish people, exactly they're full fledged Jews. Who were these people? We go further. They were bnei de loya, bnei tovia, bnei nikoda. These were the families that ascended from these cities. So it's a very funny thing. We have these cities: Tel Melach, Tel Harsha, Kruv, Adon Imer. Five different cities. These five cities produced families. What are the families? Bnei Diloya, Bnei Toviya, Bnei Nikoda. Three families. Sheish Meos Chamishim Ushnaim, 652. These people were not able to trace their lineage if they were Jews, but they came from this place, and they comprise one of the last groups of people that were part of the Gola. Now, what's the significance of the name Tel Melach? So the Medrash says they were evil people. They were like stone. Stone was turned into to salt. Charsha means Cheresh, a deaf mute. And this alludes to people that were Shesuke. The mother would tell them, quiet. When the child would say, Abba, Abba, the mother would say, Shteik, quiet. Be like a deaf mute. Don't talk. Don't talk. And then you have Kruv Adoni Mer. Now, there are various midrashim which Kruv means, it really means an angel. I don't really know the midrashim, but the midrashim is that Hashem, it's alluding to the fact that they were the opposite of angels. Angels have no problem of yichus; they come from the source. But Klal Yisrael, these people, they were like leopards. I don't know exactly the word leopard, and Nomer gets into this pasuk here. There must be some type of Jewish, we interchange the letters. But a leopard is one of the creatures that there's no loyalty to the mate. Different types of animals. Some animals, they're loyal to their mates, and there's some animals, there's no marriage. Birds, there appears to be more loyalty. This is my wife, this is my husband, and that's it. There's nothing else. Some animals more, some animals less. Leopards have the least relationship to it's an open marriage with regard to a leopard.
Change their spots.
They changed it like spotty like leopards. So that's called a Kruv, alludes to that concept that Hashem said, I wanted my people to be like the Kruv, like an angel, which represents the ultimate loyalty to their master, but they were the opposite. It's like a euphemism. They were the opposite, and therefore they don't know who their husband is, who their wife is, and they don't know what the children are. The children are Jewish, they're not Jewish, they're mamzerim, the chalolim, who they are. Adon and Imer alludes to people who said, Imer means they said less din v'less die. People had no faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said the Olam was a hefkevel. They were Jewish people, but they didn't believe in Hashem. They were atheists. Jews were atheists. Self-denying, self-hating Jews. But they were Jewish. And because they were Jewish, you know, they live in the land. But their problems, they're problematic. They cause a lot of trouble when they fall out of line. So that's what this group of people did. This group of people of 652 from these five lands who produced these three families. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow. Maybe go up some of the Rashis tomorrow and go further.